Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio is about to commence.
Good morning. Welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bach. Good morning. Good morning, North State.
It's Monday.
It's Monday, and I'm getting harassed already. It could be a long week. Okay, our phone line's here, 530-605-4567. And we're streaming and chatting at KCNR1460.com. Good morning, and welcome aboard. It's February 21st. It's President's Day. And for all of you people that are off work, hello. And, you know, I was just in, we're going to talk about this in a minute, about what's going on back in Wisconsin. But the time is, I believe, about 8:05 and a half.
7:06.
That's that time, too. 7:06. Okay, I'm going to leave it here. Bad Bob, say good morning and put the time back up here.
Oh, good morning.
Good morning, Bob. We're going to talk about the weather today. Of course, the we're going to start off this morning at a lovely temperature.
40 degrees.
There we go. Oh, my God.
It's 6 o'clock.
Okay, it's 40 degrees out right now. If you're just tuning in with us.
We obviously didn't know we were starting at 7:06.
You can tell us after a weekend, eh?
And like a 60% chance of showers today. Of course, it's raining out right now. Partly cloudy tonight. Tomorrow's going to be sunny with partly cloudy tomorrow night. So we have a wonderful weather storm ahead of us. Of course, Wednesday, Thursday, and slightly snow on Thursday night and Friday with
snow. More
snow. Oh, we love that. Weather's always brought to you by Ensemble Vineyards. This weekend was just, you know, smack full of all kinds of wonderful things we wanted to share with you that, you know, the puppy sitting we survived the puppy sitting, hardly any sleep on Friday night. And then yesterday we went to the wedding extravaganza because, of course, Don Schulman, who has two shows here on KCNR, Bridal Talk and
Movie Talk.
And Movie Talk. Was doing a live remote from the wedding extravaganza. So we went to the show, and boy, there were some really wonderful booths.
A lot
there.
Of brides out there.
A lot of brides, and they gave away a $1,000 prize at the end. That would be towards the honeymoon. They had to be present, so it was really fun and very crowded. And then we joined some friends. Wanted to share that with you because we really, really enjoyed our dinner last night.
That's okay. Okay, get the microphones turned back on. You know, it's nice to know that, you know, Geronda's, which is a mainstay and, you know, a place that's been here in town for so long.
Open for lunch now.
They're open for lunch. That's right. And the they, you know, they were closed down for lunch for a long time, and then they just picked it back up again. So they opened up, in February, and it's been a place that people like to go to for lunch, for people that want to eat here in town.
With Luigi and Kathleen White, of course, we were talking about the Italia Festa that's coming up on March, and they put that on every year. So that was really good, and it was really good food.
Yeah, okay, we're, you know, today we've got, as guests today, we have Dr. Muhammad Khan's going to be talking heart health. Again, right before Christmas, and telling people how to stay healthy during the holidays and you know, symptoms, signs to look for, and just a lot of different things. And then we also have a number of other guests coming in today, and we're going to be talking about, after the break, we're going to be talking about unions. We're going to be talking about the price of gas. My friends, it might be a good idea to fill up your tank now because every day it keeps going up. So think you're going to wait a week and it's going to be better? I don't believe so. This is Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. We were trying to play a song for some of our chat room and it just didn't come up.
Hang in there. It just still may come up, but phone number's here, 605-4567. We're always taking your calls, or go to KCNR1460 on the chat room. Love you guys chatting in. Hey, good morning. It's Monday. We're getting settled in here after this crazy weekend. And, boy, there's so much going on in the news. Carl's revved up and ready to hit it. But I wanted to share with you, which we always try to do in the morning, is that, of course, it's February 21st. Can you believe how The dates are just flying by here. Today would be in history the Washington Monument Day. On this day in 1885, the official dedication of the Washington Monument took place in Washington, D.C., although the monument did not open for another 3 years. In fact, the structure took a total of 36 years to finish. Construction took place in two major phases between 1848 and 1856 and 1876 to 1884. The Civil War and a lack of funds caused the big delay. It's a major visitor attraction today, and one can see the entire city of Washington, D.C., plus parts of the surrounding states of Virginia and Maryland from the top of the 555-foot monument. Have you ever been on the top of that monument?
You know, I have. One time. It was years ago, and then I went up, and there's a... I think you have to walk all the way up there. I'm pretty sure. I can't remember. I've been in different monuments where you had to walk all the way up. Or there were... I think this one, though, you had to... I think you took stairs.
It's still open, I wonder.
Oh, yeah.
Because
I know they closed it for a while.
They closed the Statue of Liberty on the top. Now that's open again, so I definitely want to do that again. Okay, you all are itching for this.
Okay, for the for anybody that wants to buy gas and thinking that, oh, you know, I'm going to wait a few days to see what happens. Don't wait. In Libya right now, the protest or the war, it hasn't become a war. I shouldn't say that. But there's been so much unrest in Libya that, and now they're fighting around one of their oil fields. Now, Libya pumps out like a million barrels of high-grade oil, of high-grade crude a day. So it's a, you know, if something happens there, so of course the speculators in this. So if you've watched that the prices over the weekend have raised something like 3 or 4 cents, it's been 15 cents in the last 2 weeks, and that people are looking at $4, $5 gas if this continues. The Middle East is in such a turmoil. They've looked at what happened to Egypt. The British Prime Minister, Cameron, has gone over to Egypt. He's been the first world leader to go there. You have Bahrain, who is in the, you know, they're having people killed there. The riots that are going on, the riots, demonstrations, whatever you want to call it. The Saudi government is backing Bahrain. Bahrain has offered to have a dialogue with the protesters, the royal family there. They didn't say they were going to change anything, but we're willing to have a dialogue with you. Nothing has happened in Saudi Arabia yet. Of course, in Yemen, Jordan is having some problems. They're having in Algeria. The battles are going on in a daily turmoil. People are being killed. People are fighting on the streets. In Iran, their forces are fighting people, protest a nationwide for a second time in a week. Iran's opposition drew tens of thousands of supporters to the streets across the nation yesterday, calling for an end to the Islamic Republic's rule. In response, the government unleashed what witnesses said was an extraordinary number of security forces to violently battle the crowds. Baze militia, dressed in black, shot and killed people in the squares they have where they were protesting. This is something that, if it happens, if it continues on, could have such a profound impact on the Middle East, but also this profound impact is going to hammer out on the world market with oil. And with that happening, it should cause our nation, it should cause our president, and it should call for our Congress and our Senate to look at becoming independent as much as possible from the Middle East and oil. It could be cut off, my friends. The oil that's in the Middle East could be lessened dramatically. And what are we doing? We had a chance years ago to start drilling. We had a chance years ago to start becoming self-sufficient, and we fought it to a standstill. We Americans fought ourselves to a standstill about going for oil, about speculating or searching for oil, putting in new oil wells, putting in gas wells, using our technology for gas shale. We have millions of gallons of oil below the surface of the United States. We have it along the coastline. And what are we doing? We haven't done anything. We fought ourselves about it. We acted like we could live forever on foreign oil. And now we're in a position that oil can be cut off. I don't mean just part of it. Imagine if this turmoil turns into a civil war in two or three of these countries. Imagine what that will do to the oil supplies of the world. They stop. And where we could have had oil rigs online, where we could have had oil, we chose not to do it. We chose to continue to send billions and billions and billions of dollars to this region. And now this region is unstable. So where do our national interest rate lie? Is this the kind of thing that says, you know, if we lose oil, what kind of change in our lifestyle is that going to make? Bob, I don't know. Do you know how much we bring in from other countries? Something like 70% of our oil.
I've heard between 60 and 70%.
60 and 70% of that oil. What if it? Okay, now it's not just the Middle East, but that's the vast majority. But then we get it from Venezuela and our friend Hugo Chavez. Well, you know, and so you know, here, what could happen here? Think about it, my friends. Think about if this turmoil over there turns into civil war.
I think maybe that might encourage we within our borders to try to become more self-sufficient and not rely on other countries for
The thing is that this is something that we should have been doing for years. You know, what they said, you know, during this last election, we said we have to become oil independent of that. And they said, well, it takes 10 years to do a well and to put these in. That's not true. That's not true. Not with our technology. And they said it takes years to that, and then 10 years to build a nuclear facility. Well, you know, a nuclear facility is what we need. We need dozens of them. We need to get independent of oil from other countries. And this is a perfect example of what could happen. If we somehow stumble through this, and we still are able to maintain a semblance of oil importation, but then the oil goes up, you know, the price of gas goes up to $5 a gallon. What is that going to do to food prices? What is that going to do to every price that we pay in this country?
Diesel is going up even faster because the government is inflicting heavy taxes on diesel, trying to recoup some road tax losses. So, yeah, that could really make things go sideways.
Well, I tell you, my friends, we've got to take a break here, but this is the bottom line. If you were waiting until tomorrow to buy gas, buy it today. I don't see it going anywhere else but up. There isn't a person in that's looking at this that doesn't think the price of oil is going to go sky high. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Sometimes everything just comes together.
Good morning and welcome to KCNR 1460. It's 7:24 in the morning on this beautiful Monday, President's Day. It's going to be high, the temperatures today, 48. Showers likely before 10 a.m. And this evening, mostly cloudy with a low of 31. What is always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. This portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew. And don't ever forget Espresso Joe's, the girls. In fact, yesterday when we were at the wedding extravaganza, we looked at this darling girl, waved to us, and we were like, okay. Oh, she's one of the tobacco, we call it Tobacco Bill Cuties, because, you know, they are so sweet and lovely in there, and always ready to accommodate you with special coffee drinks, and will help you with all your coffee needs.
Well, you know, there's something big coming up here. I want to talk about it. Linda's going to have to be leaving here in a few minutes. And I want to talk about the Rat Pack is back. You know, first of all, you know, this is the traveling tour of a show that plays in Las Vegas.
It's a Broadway tour.
And it's, you know, and it's people that are portraying Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, Sammy Davis Jr., and Joey Bishop. And so they're coming here to Reading
on tour
February the
27th. Sunday. It's some people will call it Oscar night, but we're calling it the Rat Pack night. And so there is a full live 12-piece orchestra, and I did speak with a musical director at the end of last week, and I'm really, really excited about this. It's going to be really the stuff that's really from the 1960s. You're going to have that Count Basie, that really great stuff. It would be like after you, it's just like anything else. Once you watch an impersonator, and it would be like watching Madonna do Evita, okay, for instance, and then all of a sudden you start to click your mind into that you're watching the life story of Evita. So once you click in, that's not really Dean Martin, but it's somebody portraying Dean Martin, and they look and they sound, it's not exactly, but then you get into the rhythm of that. It's really going to be fun because it is, these are real live, will be like the segments that actually happened at the Sands during the 60s when the Rat Pack was together and some of their antics on stage.
Oh, and you talked with the producer of it and with
the
good graces of the convention center here, is that they have given, 48 tickets?
Well, they're not. They're holding.
They're holding 48
tickets, so that are with a 20% discount. So you have to say on the spot with Linda Bott. Get that word out because people are going online and saying it's sold out. Well, there's a 48 seat section blocked, but you have to say that code word. You have to either go in person or call in. The other thing is the good Red Lion Inn in the lounge. We're going to be doing a Rat Pack rap party. And afterwards, it's going to be so much fun. Afterwards, because the show starts so early, the Red Lion's going to do special hors d'oeuvres, special cocktails like the Demartini and, you know, fun things like that. You'll be hearing Rat Pack music. It's going to be a lot of fun. It doesn't cost to do that. Just come and, you know, have a cocktail or an hors d'oeuvre or a soda or whatever you want to do. And we're all going to be there, and it should be a lot of fun. And maybe even the pack will be coming. I can't say for sure, but they are supposed to be in town, and they've been invited, and they're saying, well, that would be great. So let's all go to the Red Lion Inn afterwards and have some fun.
And the show should go from probably till 7:30 at night, because it starts at 5, so and they have an intermission. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to, and of course, you're opening for it.
Now, what's on everybody's mind, I'm sure that you want to get back to at 7:30, is what's going on with the riots all over the world, but right here in our own United States with Wisconsin.
Yeah, the unions. And, you know, there's a lot of this
unrest.
Well, you know, there is, but let's go back one more time before I leave. It's only like a minute here left. Let's talk one more time. You're going to open for them, which means you're singing. You're going to talk a little bit about your life when you were working with Martin and Sinatra and those guys, and then the show comes on. I think that I think I'm looking forward to this. I mean, this is something that they asked you to do, and I'm looking forward to this. To me, I can probably close my eyes and think, oh, okay, this is what maybe it was like a little bit like that. Something I wasn't able to do because I didn't know you then.
Well, I wasn't with the group in the '60s, but
no. You were in high school.
Yeah, but I have a chance to, like I said, kind of rub shoulders with these guys. Not Joey Bishop as much, but the other one. So it'll be a great time. We hope you join us, and that will be on the 27th.
Okay, Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio. When we come back, we're going to talk Wisconsin and unions, and we're going to talk about what happens if you're a principal and you tell the truth right here in Redding, California. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott, good morning. Phone lines here are 605-4567. 7:35 in the morning on President's Day, February 21st. And if you're probably looking for a place to go have breakfast this morning, go to Lumberjack's at 501 East Cypress. Breakfast specials Monday through Friday. Ham and eggs, chicken fried steak and eggs, New York steak and eggs. The most expensive meal there is $5.99. It is great food, great prices. They're local, and they provide just great service. Let's talk about Wisconsin. I don't know, Bob, have you been following this? I know you came in this morning angry.
Well, like I said, I find it ironic that you and I and Linda and Jim and all of us are here working while there are folks taking a government-paid holiday to take that time and go protest that they're not getting enough benefits.
Well,
how does that work?
Well, they're still protesting today, and I just wonder, have they found the Democrats yet? The Democrats who'd fled Wisconsin so that they wouldn't have to vote on these where they were going to lose, they left. And so, you know, and now we're hearing today that, well, you know, there's some moderate Republicans that may want to back down. Well, what's happening is this, is the governor of Wisconsin has said we are in deep trouble here. We have got to fix this. The people, the unions have got to pay their health. They've got to pay the retirement. Pay into it. Not pay it, but pay into it. Something they haven't done. And he also said it's a time to end this you know, these public unions. It started in Wisconsin, I think, 50 years ago. And now they're saying enough that we don't need it. And, you know, this is a fact that I heard today. I'm going to have to check it. But I heard that over 30% of government workers belong to unions. Over 30% of government workers belong to unions. And yet only 17% of the private industry is unionized. So I find that kind of interesting. Now, the latest thing is they were showing alleged doctors. They say alleged because, and how could, you know, they were dressed like doctors, but they were, how can you tell?
Do they do recommendations on the side?
Well, no, they weren't, no. No, then they wouldn't need unions because they'd be rich. No, these alleged doctors were were giving out excuses for being sick. And, my patient was sick during this week and was not in school. Well, they effectively shut down the schools last week, and this week the teachers' union president says go back to work tomorrow. The number of people that converged on it over the weekend, then you had the counter protest from people that were there over the weekend because they had to work during the week, so they couldn't just kind of like take off from work. And then so there was counter-protest, and there was a lot of nasty words that flew back and forth, but no violence, of course. We are not a violent society most of the time when it comes to this, not like in the other countries who are – they want change. Now, good article. Whether you agree with it or not, it's a good article that drew lines, that drew analogies between what's going on in Wisconsin and what's going on in the Middle East. Mark Beecham brought it up the other day. And essentially what it is that people want to be freed from a group that controls them. In this case, the people in Wisconsin feel like the unions control what they're doing. So they want to be freed from that. And in protest against that, the unions have organized, and they're getting help from all over, from what I understand. And they are going there to protest against the people wanting them to have their power lessened. And, you know, this is really, I mean, you know, this is really a, I mean, this is really unusual, and it's really interesting when you think about it. You have the people in the Middle East that are fighting for freedom from a corrupt, entrenched power. And then you've got the people in Wisconsin that want, that elected, they elected this governor and this legislature to do one thing, to get it under control. And so they want to break the unions. Essentially, that's what they're doing. They can call anything they want, but that's it. Hey, we just want to do away with the unions here. We don't need that. So now you've got the unions, which would be the other side, that entrenched group that's been there for 50 years that controls things, fighting against it. It's really interesting.
Well, as I was telling you this morning, I agree. Workers' rights need to be protected. There needs to be a mechanism through which grievances and safety conditions and unfair working conditions and that sort of thing. We don't want to return to the 1800s with sweatshops and things like that. But some of these organizations have reached a level of power that is just unconscionable, and I think the public at large has said, enough, at least you have a job. There's folks out here with nothing at all, and you're screaming for more? That doesn't work for me. Is that the general mood you get?
Well, see, now there's a problem that I see with, you know, also, and it's because this is the same thing that happened the other day, is that we had Ms. MacArthur on, the mayor, and on Tuesday they had given a raise to four members of that worked for the city, union members, but that really didn't have anything to do with that. Well, maybe, yeah, it did, but the because under the collective bargaining they had to make this much money, I believe. Somebody can call in and tell me I'm off base, but the bottom line is they gave raises at a time when we're shutting down the school or shutting down the fire stations. And they gave raises not to people on the lines, like, you know, the line workers. They didn't give a raise to people that are repairing the streets. They gave raises to upper management. They're making over $100,000 a year to a secretary who I'm sure is, you know, just the best there. But they gave her a raise too. And the reason behind it was, we have to keep giving them raises or we're going
to
lose them. I don't think so.
Where?
I don't think so. Who's going to give up a $120,000 job you just got a raise on, you got the perks, because you'd still have making $112,000 a year, which is somewhat more than the average person makes in Reading. And, you know, and then when you get down into the lower paid positions, but they still have health, they still have retirement, they're going to quit their jobs and go where? I mean, that's not maybe a polite way of saying it, but they're making really good money right here. What are they thinking of in the city council? Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Linda is now on assignment. The time is 7:45 on President's Day. We're here. You're listening. So that's all we need to do. It's 605-4567 is our phone number. And we're streaming and chatting as many people are on there. That's the Indie Guy and JRD and Sun Gold and a few others here. This portion of the show is brought to you by BNT Satellite. Doug Tooley puts in Dish Satellite. His number is 244-1988. Gives great, great value when he puts in Dish Satellite. And you get a good deal from Doug Tooley. He's a local guy. He's been in the business since 1985. That's BNT Satellite, 244-1988. Okay, let's talk about something. You know, the Somalis, the pirates off the coast of Somalia are at it again, Bob. They captured a yacht with four Americans on board. Now, it was hijacked off the coast of Oman, but now it's in the waters between Yemen and northern Somalia. Somebody tell me why these four people, first of all, were getting that close, and it's international. They were part of an international yacht race called the Blue Water Rally, and said the Quest had been taking part in a race, but it left February 15th to chart an independent course from India to Oman. So now you've got
a
Navy
choice.
Warship that's going to shadowing the yacht there, or supposedly, they're not sure. The whole thing is why would you even go over there? The second thing of all is, okay, maybe a little bit reckless in this, but why are we even letting the Somali pirates off the coast? Why don't we just every so often just send an aircraft over and sink everything they've got? You know, and then once they get it, you know, they took the one ship and the Navy SEALs took them down. And then we've even captured one of them, put them in jail for 30 years. They don't care.
They don't care.
This is a big money-making source for them.
They know better than to touch a Russian flagship, I'll tell you that. The last time they picked on a Russian flagship, they got pretty well wiped.
Well,
the offenders.
The thing about it is that this is, you know, they've taken four Americans. They want money for them. And what are we going to do? There isn't even a government in Somalia that you can even negotiate with. So why not, when you see them going out there, you look at it, if they look like they're, you know, you put a long-dwelling drone over them. And, you know, the drone just sits there and watches them. If they're fishing, you leave them alone. If they're heading out towards someplace doing something wrong, you sink them. And after you sink, like, half of them or all of them, this will stop. This is silly. This is ridiculous. You know, that we continue to have this. And it's also somewhat reckless, I believe, on Americans' part to kind of even get in that area. I mean, if it looks like it could be a trouble, I mean, you're on a yacht. I mean, what are you going to do, run away? I think not. You remember Larry Wilcox?
Yeah.
It was, you know, he's the guy that was in CHIPS. And I've met him before. And a nice guy. He's a former Marine, Vietnam vet. Got involved in a insider trading thing down in Florida. And was arrested. And he could have been sentenced to 5 years in jail. Larry Wilcox. And what he ended up doing was that he went, and you read the article, and you almost feel sorry for this guy. That he said, you know, I was in over my head. I didn't really realize what was going on. He says, I feel absolutely horrible about it. He says, I'm bankrupt now. And all this was true. And the judge listened to him and said, you know, I actually believe you're sincere. And so he still puts him in like 3 or 4 years of probation and community service, but he didn't put him in jail. And it's, you know, it's, but just seeing this guy's name after, what, 20 years since the last time you heard of him?
Yeah.
And somebody that was, you know, and the reason I got to know him was because he got involved with Toys for Tots. You know, and the Marine Corps puts out and does the Toys for Tots every year. And it's a great, great, great program, and I encourage people to participate in it. But he made a trip all through the United States free. I mean, nobody was paying him. And they had an airline that flew him from spot to spot to spot just so he could talk about raising, you know, getting toys for children that needed it for Christmas. And I remember meeting him and thinking, you know, this guy was pretty unpretentious. And of course, you know, that doesn't mean anything after 5 years or 10 years. Who knows what he did? Okay, today, from 10 to 4 p.m. at the Shasta Outlets, Anderson's Veterans Walk of Honor. You meet and greet local heroes. They've got a Vietnam-era helicopter and Jeeps from previous wars, including World War II. You go there, and they have you can give for the Veterans Walk of Honor in Anderson. It is a great thing. James Yarbrough was here the other day.
Have you heard them fire up the sound system they've installed on that Huey? I turned my head because it sounded like an honest-to-God turbine firing.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, yeah. It was great.
I know a lot of people get excited about that one because, you know, they flew them there. And anyway, you can also send donations to Veterans Walk of Honor Park, Post Office Box 426, Anderson, California, 96007. But I recommend you go down there to the Shasta Outlets today. Just stop by and give a donation to them. We've got to take a break here. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. 60, the home of Free Fire Media, 7:54 in the morning on President's Day. Carl and Linda Bott. Linda has abandoned me for a thing she's doing. She's on assignment from here, but she was here when we started. Bye, Bob. Tell us about what's going on.
Carl, looking at the radar, we got some light rain around Reading, 40 degrees. Tonight's low should be about 31, sunny tomorrow, but as we get later into the week, we could see some more stuff, including possibly snow down to the valley floor.
That's what I heard. And, you know, hey, chat room, thank you so much. Indie Guy, Angel, Valerie, we got Kelly, we got John, we've got so many people.
And, of course, weather always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyard.
That's right. You know, Anselmo's a great place for lunch, for dinner. You know, if you're looking for music, the music series is starting up again. Need to check the website out there, but it's always a great place, a great destination up towards Shingletown. Let's talk. We've got only our 5 minutes left here. We're going to be talking about a couple of different things. One of them, and we're going to be following this closely. Well, both things are going to be following closely, but one, we're going to be bringing in people to talk about it, and that's the Reading City Council wants to push that Churn Creek Road past 299 to Oasis. And all this started about 8 years ago, and the opposition, when they first started talking, the opposition group arose. Now, this is the people that were opposed to it, mainly were the ones that it was really going to touch. They're going to have to, I think, knock down, like, I don't know, a number of houses, a dozen houses or more. Mm-hmm. And then they're saying that they, hey, wait a minute, you can't do this. Well, it's, to me, from what I've read, yeah, the city can do it because this has been in the planning since like 1970.
If you pull up one of those old maps, yeah, you see, I mean, the road drawn,
yeah,
in.
Yeah, I mean, it's been, and it's been, I mean, they fought it to a standstill, like I said, a few years ago. But this is not something that they didn't know about, and if they didn't know about it, then the realtor needs to be sued. Okay, I use that term loosely. Because it was on all the city maps. And when I talked to somebody from the council, they said, no, it's been on there. In fact, a couple people said that this is not a surprise and it's happened before. So we're going to follow that, see what happens, because their opposition is, of course, from the people that live in that area, but also environmental groups. It was a good story in the Record Searchlight about it. And we're going to have on some people from the city, but we're also going to have some people that this will affect also will be on to give their side of it and why this should not happen. Now, the last thing here we're going to be talking about before we go to break, and we've got Dr. Kahn on the way on the out, is Reading School District Principal Lana Riley, principal at Sycamore Elementary School, has filed a legal claim contending that district officials retaliated against her for blowing the whistle on a school librarian accused of theft and embezzlement. You remember that happened, Winnell Stoltz was accused of embezzling funds from the school's parents' club. And Stoltz is the wife of Rain Stoltz, who was president of the district board of trustees. He also retired. She was arrested and charged in August with embezzling about $13,500 from the Sycamore Parent Faculty Club and stealing material from the school. Now, again, it's just accusations, hasn't come to court, but the school principal, Riley, said that she's received a bad performance evaluation in July after she gave a critical evaluation to the school librarian. Riley's evaluation also was an attempt by District Superintendent Diane Kempley and members of the school board to coerce and intimidate Riley to prevent her from reporting to law enforcement those claims. Now, there is a law against harming or seeking retribution against a whistleblower. And so Ms. Riley is saying that they hammered her because she reported something that was going on that shouldn't have been going on. You know what? This school board and this district is just getting more and more interesting as we go along, Bob. Isn't this the same? I believe the same district that was giving all the raises for those people that were leaving.
Including
the district superintendent. I think she's leaving this year. If you say, hey, look, I'm getting out by this time, and I mean I can understand how they're saying, hey, look, if you say you're getting out, if you're retiring early, we're going to pay you X amount of dollars to do that, or we're going to give you like a bonus to do that, so then we can hire more people on, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it doesn't count for their retirement; this is just a one-time bonus. So, but it seems like this district and the people on the school board and this whole thing are just in a constant turmoil of bad stuff. You know, and what impact is this having on the school district? I mean, it's got to have some kind of impact on it. I mean, you cannot be going through all of this and it's not having an impact on the students, the teachers, and what's going on. And now the school principal. So there's a lot going on in that division that needs to be looked at. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR. 1460, home of Free Fire Meeting. We come back, we're going to have Dr. Kahn's on. We're going to be talking heart healthy stuff.
KCNR Shasta Redding.
Well, welcome back to Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. 8:05 on President's Day, the 21st of February. Our phone lines here are 530-605-4567. And if you go to KCNR1460.com, we're streaming, and you can chat with us there, as many, many of you all are doing today. And our guest today is Dr. Kahn. But before we get started, we've got a phone caller. Elizabeth, good morning.
Well, good morning, Carl. How are you?
I'm fine. And how are you?
Great, great. Well, I just wanted to let everybody know what we're doing at the Redding Tea Party tonight, 6 o'clock, Bonneview Baptist Church. That's at 2570 South Bonneview Road. We're going to have our own newly elected Senator Doug LaMalfa, who's going to come in and kind of fill us in on what's going on with the state. I think that the financial situation of our state is a lot of concern to everyone, and so this is a great opportunity for everyone to come out and hear it for themselves.
Well, I think so, too. You know, Senator LaMalfa has always made himself available to the public for questions. He always has when he was an assemblyman. I've always felt that there was an openness with him and Nielsen and even Herger.
They're really pretty good. They're a good team as far as representing the North State.
As far as being able to at least get to them to ask questions and get some answers, I've always liked that. Yeah. Well, that's good. So what time is that tonight?
That's at 6 o'clock, so if anybody has questions or wants to know what's going on in the state of California, this is their chance.
Well, thanks, Elizabeth, you and Aaron.
You're welcome.
With We the People on Sunday mornings, also are rocking during that time, too.
Yeah. And just so you know, I mean, we all know that KCNR streams worldwide, and we had somebody we were chatting with on our show yesterday from Illinois. That was fun.
Well, we do. And once, everything anybody says here is worldwide, and it's archived, so we can't hide about it later.
Absolutely. There you go.
Okay.
Have a great day, Carl.
Thank you very much, Elizabeth.
Bye.
Bye. Hey, our guest today, Dr. Mohammed Khan, is here, is a preeminent heart specialist here in town, and I just found out something, being kind of a new guy here in town, is that you've been in Reading about 6 years.
Exactly, close to 6 years now.
Well, see, you know, when I first came here, for some reason, I thought that, you know, I heard your name all the time. And this was just somebody I thought had been in town forever. But 6 years. What induced you to come to Reading?
Well, you know, I was in Louisiana for a very long time after completing my training at UC Davis. And this was my first job move, so it was really a difficult decision. But there was a void for the need for cardiology at that time after some of what had taken place at the hospital. And they were looking to restart the program. And I was looking to come to California closer to my family. My children live in Sacramento. And I thought it would be a good opportunity for me to come and hopefully contribute and make a difference and be closer to my family as well.
Well, that's good. Well, I know the community is happy that you're here. I'm happy you're here, and there's a lot of people in the chat room that are happy you're here. So, you know, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to start getting to some of the questions. We're going to be talking about heart health. We're going to be talking about that February is Heart Awareness Month. So, this is Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Our guest, Dr. Mohammed Khan. We're going to be talking heart when we come back. Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. I was just proving to Dr. Khan why I should never be a surgeon.
Headphone management problems there, Carl.
The wire on my headphones, I somehow got wrapped around the microphone, and it was like, wait a minute, how did this happen? And then, of course, the only thing you really have to do is let the wire drop by itself, and it fixes itself. Any of the time is 8:12. It's President's Day on February 21st. Our guest, Dr. Mohammed Khan, our heart specialist of choice here. you took care of me, and I was happy. And February is Heart Month. Now, one of the things we want to talk about is that heart disease, for so long, people thought of older, heavy-set guys. In many cases, that you know that it would affect, but it appears that women are now starting to see the effects of heart disease.
Absolutely, and in the commercial break, there was the ad for the Go Red for Women because of heart disease in women. You know, women are afraid of breast cancer, but breast cancer affects about 50,000 women a year, while heart disease will kill 500,000 women a year. That's one every minute. So every minute we will lose a wife, a daughter, a mother, a sister. Every minute of every day, a woman loses her life. In fact, one in three women will die from some form of heart disease. It is the leading cause of death in women. And when women have a heart attack, they tend to suffer a more fatal heart attack. They recover less. Two-thirds of women won't survive. And more women will have a second heart attack in the next year as compared to men. So it truly is a significant problem. Heart disease in women kills more women than the next 8 causes of death combined.
And why don't we hear about this more?
Well, you know what? Every time, you know, when you came on last time, you had statistics, you know, concerning a number of other things, doctor, but this one is astounding to me.
It is astounding, and women are such an important fabric of our community. When you lose a woman, you break a family, you fracture a community. Women are mothers. They're supporting wives. They have to be soccer moms. They have to be role models. Women are a very, very important part of our fabric and community.
Okay, so we've just said is that we have a woman that dies every minute from heart disease, every minute throughout the year.
Correct.
All right, so obviously that, you know, that knowledge is a power here to help prevent that. So what can women do?
Well, first is women, while I know how important it is to be a mother and a wife, and women have to be in the workforce, they're working, they spend two-thirds of their time working. But what is very important is that they should take time out for themselves. Women tend to downplay their symptoms. Women are less likely to call 911. The average time for somebody to call 911 is 2 hours, and that's why we lose so many lives, and most of those are in women. They also have a greater tendency to call a child, a son, or the husband before they call 911. So we want women to understand that if you feel that you may be having a heart attack, call 911. And also schedule and don't miss your routine appointments, especially if you have multiple risk factors. If a woman has a strong family history of premature heart disease, or if a woman has diabetes, or if a woman has hypertension or high cholesterol, those women are at higher risk, and they need to ensure that they get themselves checked.
Okay, let's talk about then, you know, so symptoms that we talk about, heart attacks, that but they vary, and some people may just ignore them. So let's talk about that.
Okay, that's a good question, because particularly in women, symptoms are different. The normal symptoms of heart disease is a chest pressure or a heaviness or a tightness, sometimes an indigestion that may go to the back or the jaw or the arms, sometimes jaw pain, sometimes just a toothache, sometimes indigestion. If you have any of these symptoms, especially when you exert or when you do something and you just don't feel right when you do something, don't neglect it. Now, in women, women can present with very different symptoms. Many of them will have no symptoms at all. They may just be a little tired, a little fatigued when they exert, shortness of breath. And again, if they have any of those risk factors, it is important that they get themselves checked.
Okay, one of our one of the people in our chat room said that she was going to be doing a treadmill. That she believes that her heart is healthy, but the doctor wants her to do a treadmill.
So. Well, another great question. Let me answer it this way. 64% of men, that's more than one in two, and about 50% of women, one in every two, the very first time they have chest pain, it's going to be a heart attack or death. The very first time. So if your doctor recommends you have the stress test, please have the stress test. It's very safe. We do 5, 6, 7 of these every day for the last 20 years. The physician is present, and we can go over the findings immediately. Not only can it tell you about blockages, it can tell you if your blood pressure is going too high when you exercise, it can tell you if you have irregular heartbeats when you are exercising, it can tell you whether you can do other kinds of physical activity. So it gives us a lot of information, but it is important to get the stress test done.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break here, and the reason is when we come back, I'm going to talk about my stress test. And so I took one, and just I'll let me walk you through it real quick, and then the doctor can comment on it. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Media. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's on assignment now. She was here earlier this morning, but she is off launched again. It is 8:23 in the morning on President's Day, February the 21st, and it looks like it's 39 degrees. It's going to be rainy and kind of bad today. It's going to clear up tomorrow, probably Wednesday, but then look for maybe possibly snow on Fridays. Our phone is 530-605-4567, and we're chatting real hard on KCNR1460.com. This portion of the show brought to you by Lumberjacks. They have a senior menu, must be 55 or older. And it is two meals for $12. What a great deal. Chicken breast dinner, tilapia, roasted turkey dinner, you name it, they've got it. It's at 501 East Cypress, local business, local people. They are doing a great job for us and a great job for our community. That's a Lumberjacks, 501 East Cypress. Our guest, Dr. Muhammad Khan, our heart specialist, and who has he is just every time we have him on the show, it is just another series of oh my gosh. Okay, we've got a caller, John. Good morning.
Good morning, Carl. Good morning, Dad Bob and Linda on assignment. Good morning, Dr. Kahn. How are you this morning?
I'm well, thank you. Thank you for calling.
I have two questions I'd like to ask you. The first one is, this just hurts for me to ask, but how bad for the heart is coffee?
Good question. I love coffee, John. Coffee.
Me too.
You know, I always joke.
It's its own food group.
I was just drinking it when you said it, John. Thanks a lot.
Sorry, Carl.
I joke with my staff. I tell them coffee drinkers make better lovers. So.
Right.
Now, coffee, some people are sensitive. Some people who have palpitations or they feel their heart flutter, they can be very sensitive to coffee. And so when they consume coffee, they will feel these palpitations come on quite a bit. Aside from that, there's real no significant scientific evidence that says that coffee is bad for your heart. Coffee is quite okay. 2 to 3 cups of coffee.
Dr. Kahn, I think I love you.
2 to 3 cups of coffee won't hurt you at all, John.
There's a bunch of the chat room that just felt a lot better, too.
Okay, the second question, and this one is kind of a difficult one also, but as you know, heart surgeons in Shasta County have taken a serious hit due to the unnecessary surgeries prescribed by unethical surgeons. How can a prospective heart surgery candidate protect himself against this problem? Do you think a second opinion is always called for?
I don't think a second opinion is always called for, but if you are unsure, that's exactly what you need to do. First, you need to be very comfortable with your physician. You need to feel that they are going to do what's right for you and what's the best thing for you. Because if you're uncomfortable, then you'll always be uncomfortable. That's number one. You've got to feel that your doctor's going to do the best for you. Number two, you're absolutely right. And, you know, I came after all of all that transpired took place. And when patients ask me for a second opinion, that's their right. They have a right to it. So what if somebody's concerned, get your disc, because before we do a surgery, we have to do an angiogram or cardiac catheterization of the heart. That is recorded on a CD. So you can take your disc, you can go to another cardiologist, or you can go to another surgeon, and you can have them review it. That's your right, and they will give you a second opinion.
Dr. Kahn, I want to thank you for your service to our community.
Thank you. That's an obligation and a duty I have.
You have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you, John. Thanks for calling. Okay, let's talk about that stress test. You know, when I was, I took a stress test at the VA. And when I did, I failed it, and which kind of got my attention right away. And they said, well, you can, we're going to send you down to, you know, some other place down, you know, VA stuff. And I said, no, I don't want to wait that long. So I called Dr. Kahn's office. And they scheduled me immediately. I had, I believe, an EKG first. And then when we did the stress test, it was it also included taking photos of the heart. And can you explain all this,
sure,
doctor?
There are different kinds of stress tests. Somebody walks on a treadmill, and that's a regular exercise treadmill stress test. But some people may have back pain or arthritis and are unable to walk on a treadmill, and so we do a chemical stress test. Now, many times these stress tests can fool us. This is very important. Sometimes a stress test can look completely normal and people feel great about it. But again, we don't treat the test. We treat the patient. If a patient says, I'm still short of breath, I still have chest pain, then we listen to the patient. We don't listen to the stress test because that's only about 85 to 90% correct. It's not 100%. Now, in your case, for example, some people will do a stress test that will be abnormal. It will be positive. If it is positive and they have symptoms while on the treadmill, then you put the two and two together and you say, look, your test is positive, you had symptoms, we need to investigate this further. But if you have no symptoms, your test is positive, then I generally recommend the nuclear stress test or the chemical stress test. And then if so, I look at it sometimes as a second opinion. And if that is abnormal, then we obviously discuss what's next. But if that is normal, then there's some reassurance.
Right. And that's essentially is what happened with me with the, after the nuclear test, that I was normal. I didn't wasn't having chest pains, and my I guess my blood pressure and everything was pretty good. But this is what it did, though. It made my heart lighter after I did that, to find out that there was... you know, probably I was, you know, that with all indications that I was fine.
But correct.
So this thing about a stress test is really something that if you are starting to feel those, you know, any of these symptoms that the doctor talked about, and if your doctor says something, you know, jump right on that one.
Absolutely.
Okay, we've got about 30 seconds left here, and we come back. Dr. Khan's going to be with us into the next half hour. We were able to kidnapping for an entire hour this time. We've got all types of questions on here that we want to get to. Concerning that, we're going to talk about a new blood thinner that the doctor was talking to me about during the break. We're going to talk about other things that people talk about, like the aspirin a day, other questions we have in here. This is Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Join us after the news. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Carl Lindebaugh, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It's 8:34 in the morning on President's Day, and this portion of the show is brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop. That's right, it's right off Athens Avenue, man's last stronghold. They give great haircuts at great prices. DC Tim and the Man in Black, they give discounts if you are a veteran. And they do not do hairstyling. They don't do perms. They do haircuts. Again, man's last stronghold. Cypress Square Barbershop. It's President's Day. I assume that they're there to get your haircut like Abraham Lincoln. That's like Bob does. All right, our guest, Dr. Muhammad Khan. We're talking heart issues, and we've just got all types of questions and comments on the chat room. And a couple of questions have come through.
Let me say something about barbershops, since you talked about barbershop. There was a recent...
Don't tell me I can't go to the barbershop.
No, there was a recent study that barbershops were checking their patients' blood pressure.
Really?
And they found that many, many patients had their blood pressure inadequately controlled. And as they kept coming monthly or every few weeks for their haircuts, they found that those patients started complying more, went to the doctors, got their treatments, and their blood pressures were better controlled than in the community. So there you go.
You mean if the barbershop was taking the blood pressure of the customer?
And patients were checking their blood pressures.
Well, you know, my blood pressure, when, you know, the first time that I remember being checked someplace else was sitting in a dentist chair. And they, you know, in the military, and they put the blood pressure cuff on me, and they said, your blood pressure's elevated a little bit. I said, well, yeah, I wonder why. But no, but going to the barbershop, isn't that interesting?
Certainly. Anybody can make a difference.
Oh, you know, that's great. You know, and it's... I can understand that. You know, I thought you were going to say something to the effect that, you know, that they take their, you know, that if they, you know, getting a haircut regularly is kind of relaxing, and maybe may help your blood pressure.
There was a time in history when your barber was also your surgeon. Now, not a lot of people survived the experience, but.
Well, that's when they still had leeches, Bob. Okay. All right. Let's talk about a few things. One of the things you were one of the advances in medicine you were talking about, doctor, was this blood thinner.
Yes, this is truly terrific because for the past 60 years there's a blood thinner. When somebody has an irregular heartbeat called atrial fibrillation, because the heart is irregular and doesn't squeeze completely, there's a pocket or a pouch in the heart where blood accumulates and doesn't get pumped out. And when blood stays in any one place, it can stick together and form a blood clot. And when patients have these irregular heartbeats, we give them a blood thinner called Coumadin. And with that, you had to have it checked regularly. You can't eat certain foods. You take certain spices or certain medications, and the levels are always either too high or too low. Well, there's a new blood thinner out called Pradaxa. And with this blood thinner, not only do you not have to check your levels and you don't have to worry about what you eat, but also it significantly lowers your risk of a stroke if you have that irregular heartbeat compared to Coumadin. So this is truly, truly a novel drug, and, you know, again, another difference that science is making for our patients.
Wow. So that just is, because I remember my parents took Coumadin, and that this was something that had an impact on their lives.
And in general, patients who take Coumadin or any blood thinners need to be very, very careful so that they don't fall, particularly at night. Elderly people get up at night, go to the restroom, and sometimes they get dizzy and lightheaded. So make sure you have a night light. Make sure you have, if the bathroom is too far or difficult to get to, it may not even be a bad idea to have a bedside commode. Just be careful when you're on these blood thinners.
Well, you know, my mother tripped when we were in Philadelphia visiting children. And she didn't, you know, it wasn't like she was hurt or anything, but we still took her down to the hospital. And they were getting ready to release her, and I said, she takes Coumadin. Boom, they stopped. And then they started doing that. They wanted to do scans to make sure that there was no you know, damage from blood.
Bleeding,
yeah,
yes.
from bleeding. Other questions we've got, and these are the aspirin a day.
Aspirin is terrific. Now, as long as you're not allergic to aspirin, or if you don't have a risk for bleeding, aspirin for pennies a day, up to 25% can reduce your first heart attack and stroke. So if somebody has multiple risk factors, if they smoke and they have diabetes and they have a family history of heart disease, then aspirin, a baby aspirin, 81 milligrams a day, can certainly help prevent a heart attack and stroke. Do check with your doctor to make sure that you are not at risk of bleeding or not allergic to it. But otherwise, if you are a male more than 50, if you are a woman more than 65, if you have diabetes or kidney disease, you should consider being on aspirin. Anybody who's had any kind of blockage, or open heart surgery, if you have a blockage in your leg, in your heart, in your kidneys, you should be on a baby aspirin a day.
Okay. Well, we got to take a quick break here. Our guest, Dr. Muhammad Khan. We're talking heart disease. We're talking heart treatment. We're talking new medicine that's helping people. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. The home of Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott, good morning. It is 8:43 in the morning on President's Day, the 21st. This portion of the show is brought to you by BNT Satellite. 244-1988 is the phone number they put in Dish Satellite. Doug Tooley, he's a local guy, he's a veteran. They have just moved to 1345 Liberty Street. That's Dish Satellite and Doug Tooley, 244-1988. They will give you a great deal, and it's a local guy. Temperature is 39 degrees. Bob, what's the weather going to be?
Well, Carl, right now, and says it feels like 36. There's a bit of a wind going on and some light rain that's going to continue throughout the day. Partly cloudy tonight and then sunny tomorrow. Later in the week, though, we could see snow all the way down to town.
Oh, that's great. Again.
Weather always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyard.
Yeah, great place to go. It's right outside El Cedro. Okay, our guest, Dr. Muhammad Khan, and here's the questions that are rolling through. This is the latest one. It's kind of what we talked about during the break, Doctor. Are repetitive leg cramps an indication of heart disease?
Well, patients, one condition that is underdiagnosed and undertreated is poor circulation in the legs, also known as PAD, or peripheral artery disease. People must know this. If you have blockages in one part of your body, you can get blockages in other parts of your body. If somebody had a heart attack, they have a 5 times chance of having another heart attack. They have a 3 to 4 times chance of having a stroke. If somebody's had a stroke, they have a 9 times chance of having another stroke and a 5 times chance of having blockages in their heart. If anybody has blockages in their legs or poor circulation to the legs, they will also have blockages in the heart, are also at risk of having blockages in the neck. Now, how do we know when somebody has poor circulation in the legs? Because a lot of times patients will say they're getting old, they attribute it to muscle aches or back aches or backaches or arthritis and so forth. But when you walk, and if you walk, you get these Charlie horses or leg cramps, and you have to stop or slow down, that could be a sign of poor circulation to the legs, especially if you smoke and especially if you have diabetes. The one thing, though, you will get those leg cramps at the same distance every time. So if you walk to the mailbox and it starts, it will be the same distance every time. For some people it's half a block, for some people it's one block. If it's different distances, some days you can walk 5 blocks and some days only half a block, it's less likely to be poor circulation, more likely to be your back or some other problem. Leg cramps at night are generally not a sign of poor circulation and unlikely to be related to heart disease.
Okay, one of the questions that just rolled through was statins. Statins?
Statins. Statins are best, or what we really say, statins. Statins are cholesterol medication. And statins are very, very important. Some patients are reluctant to take statins because they worry about some of the side effects. Some of the minor side effects can be muscle aches and so forth. And I had a patient the other day come in and says, you know, he heard that statins can cause kidney failure. Now, the statistics on that is that 1 million people have to take a statin before you can have one patient with kidney failure. But if 1 million patients take statins, you will save 700 open-heart surgeries, you will save 600 lives, and you will save about 900 angioplasties. So statins are, if your cholesterol is high, because some people, the cholesterol is so high that even if you exercise and become a vegetarian, you will not lower it to the numbers that we like because of its genetic.
Mm-hmm.
And so some people need statins. And we follow the levels very carefully. We follow their liver functions carefully to make sure that it doesn't affect these organs.
Okay. Dr. Khan, one of the things that we've talked about here on the show several times is it seems like this epidemic of obesity in young people. Are you starting to see heart disease at younger ages? Or?
We definitely are. We definitely are seeing patients who have heart problems in the younger ages. You know, every 21 seconds, somebody is being diagnosed with diabetes. From the year 2000, 1 in 3 children will develop diabetes. And if nothing changes, every other child in this country in the next 20 to 25 years, every other child will develop diabetes. And the reason for that is primarily not so much what we eat, is lack of exercise and obesity.
When we say child, Doctor, you're talking like 12, 13, aren't you?
We're talking about children.
Children.
We're talking
diabetes
about children.
Diabetes when they're children.
Diabetes is children. Now, our children, over the year, will spend more hours watching television than attending class. That's how much of television we watch. And all these games, that the DS games and PlayStations and all these other computer games that kids have today, they don't go out and exercise. And that is why there's such an important push. We've got to get our children to eat healthier, and we have to get them to exercise. They've got to have at least 30 minutes of physical activity. Otherwise, for the first time in this country, we're going to have a reversal of our life expectancy. People are going to live less. And it's primarily exercise and watching what our children eat.
And that's what brought up the discussion the first time, that our children, or in this case our grandchildren, are going to live less than their parents and their grandparents, yeah, even because of this. But this statistic about, you know, the one in every other child, if things don't change, will have diabetes.
Have diabetes.
And it's strict, and it could all be prevented.
You know, like I said, if we just take today, so we don't even if we don't look at the future, every 21 seconds, somebody is being diagnosed with diabetes. That means about 2,500 new diabetics are diagnosed every day. About 200 of those every day will end up with an amputation. 77 will go blind every day, and 66 will end up on dialysis. We have to exercise, and we've got to educate our children to eat better.
We're going to take a break on that one, but when I hear these statistics, it brings a sadness to me that our future is facing this, and it's this bleakness. And I've known somebody that was in his early 30s, it was diabetic, and they amputated his foot. And to think that our children, our grandchildren, are facing this when it could be prevented, Doctor.
Absolutely.
Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott. It's 8:54 in the morning on President's Day. This portion of the show is brought to you by Mike's Music off Cypress Avenue, 243-3774. He sells great instruments, and not only that, but they give very professional education, and they teach you how to use those instruments. They've got a studio back there a lot of people use. Mike's Music, it's a great place, local guy. 243-3774 off Cypress. Give him a call. Our guest, Dr. Muhammad Khan, and I tell you what, this has been an enlightening hour, but it's also been a very frightening hour, Doctor, to hear the statistics that you have given us on heart disease with women, with the diabetes in children. The fact that if we continue just the way we are, that in another 20 years, one in every two children will have diabetes because of obesity and diet, lack of exercise. Anyway, a good question came in here is, what would Dr. Khan say is the best thing for keeping your heart healthy?
All right. The one advice that I can give you, there are studies that have shown that even if you are overweight, if you walk up to 30 minutes a day, that overweight individual will have less risk of a heart attack and stroke than the thin individual that doesn't exercise. Now, we know the other problems with overweight on the knees and diabetes and so forth, but you will reduce your risk even greater than a thin individual that will not exercise. So the single most important advice I can give you, because there's nothing better than this, is to start walking every day. Even if you start 5 minutes a day, at the end of the month, you'll be used to it. Next month, you go to 10 minutes a day. The following month, 15 minutes a day. And graduated up to at least 30 minutes a day. I had a very motivated patient on oxygen who came in and said, "What's the one thing I can do?" I said, "Walk." He said, "I can't. I'm on oxygen." I said, "How much can you walk?" He said, "I can do 2 minutes." I said, "Do 2 minutes a day for a month. Come back in a month." He came back in a month. I said, "Double it up to 4 minutes." And I said, "Every month, double it up." He came back in a year. He was walking 30 minutes twice a day on oxygen. He even walked the treadmill. You look at patients that come in that are 90, 95 that walk on the treadmill and have no symptoms. They have a great quality of life. They're walking in the malls. They're walking with their great-grandchildren. They're going out and doing things. So the single most important advice is to start walking. Start walking every day and build it up to a minimum of 30 minutes a day.
Well, that one thing can save our lives, walking 30 minutes a day. And by the way, there's a lot of comments in the chat room that a great show, and thanking you very much for your expertise and the things that you're telling everybody. I kind of look at the, somebody, there, it's, even though it's, you want somebody that knows how it works to fix it. And you know how the heart works. You know what it's needed. And this idea of taking 30 minutes of your day to go for a walk, and this is some of the most beautiful scenery that you're going to find
absolutely
in the world, is around here, going down the Sacramento River and all that. And we've got plenty of places to walk here. So that one thing, walking 30 minutes a day, can save your life.
That one thing can save your life. And as you get up to 30 minutes, then make it moderate to brisk. Many patients who walk regularly will start feeling something. If they're going to have a heart attack, because they walk regularly, they'll start realizing as they walk that something's not right. And they come in, the stress test is abnormal, we'll put in a stent, but we may have saved a life and definitely could have saved a heart attack.
And that's the other thing that was very important today, that if you feel like something pushing on your chest or indigestion or something, if you go out and walk and it gets worse or it stays there, then that's a big sign right there.
Absolutely.
So here's what exercise will do for you. Exercise will save your life. That 30 minutes a day of walking. Dr. Khan, I can't thank you enough for being
here
today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, it was when we get shows like this, and the last time you were on too before Christmas, when you said the 3 days that you will most likely people will most likely experience a heart attack is Christmas Day, the day after Christmas, and New Year's Day.
You remember well.
I remember well. I tell you what, your statistics have a huge impact on me. They have a huge impact on me because, you know, I'm getting up to that age of 30. I think about these things. All right, okay, just shut down the chat room if you guys are going to be nasty and rude about my age, okay? Anyway, okay, now, again, thank you so much, Dr. Khan. We're going to have tomorrow, it should be also somewhat interesting. Congressman Herger will be here to be talking about what's going on in Washington, D.C., and we've got a number of other great shows lined up this week that we're going to be talking about, what's going on in our community and national events. There's just... it's good to start off a week, though, with a show that just is that gives everybody such food for thought.
Bing.
And can you know what? I love it when we say that. Hey, you listen to the show, we can save your life. This is Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. And just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
And thank you for listening to KCNR Shasta Redding.